week away, and food banks across the country say they're overwhelmed by high demand. A lot of people pulling up who are obviously middle class. The University of California says okay to a 32% tuition hike. Students not happy. My goodness, the cost of an education this day. How many people will have to say, forget it, I cannot afford it? It's not like I'm going to be a doctor or a lawyer or anything. I'm talking about an average BA. In the meantime, one of the big stories on the day has to be a look inside Fort Hood. The latest, the Pentagon announcing that Fort Hood, the procedures and whatnot, will be reviewed, you think? And that's where we start. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coming up, by the way, another 10 minutes. Very excited about our guest who spent a lot of time on tour with some of the greats in rock and roll. We're talking stories about the Stones, drug runs for Keith Richards, for example, hanging out with Eric Clapton and his bevy of beauties. I'm sure the stories are quite interesting. So we'll lighten the load a little bit. And lightening the load, also in our third hour, don't forget we have Nail the Score. What will the game of the week be? Our computer randomly picks whatever that is in the NFL. Could it be the Saints, who might end up with a perfect season, another 16-0 team? Remember what happened to the Patriots. So that's in our third hour. But first, as I said, the Pentagon announcing finally this Fort Hood review, looking into what's going on, for example, at not only that military installation, but others. But specifically, let's stick with Fort Hood. And our Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, is putting a couple people in charge of this, which I think is actually a smart thing. Get a couple of different opinions. It includes a former U.S. Army Secretary, a former Navy Chief, to give a broad range of possibilities of different things they might uncover. It's a 45-day review, so this is good, too. There's a beginning and an end. It's not going to go on and on and on, because we know how the administration likes to strategize forever when we're sitting on the edge of our seats. They're going to look into how the military identifies service people who might be a threat, a la, obviously, Major Hassan. And they're also going to look at personnel and medical programs and how U.S. bases in general are able to respond to mass casualty incidents. Almost like those, you know, they do them in different cities. They do these drills where they'll bring in media people and they'll pay them for a day and emergency personnel and find out if there was a major eruption, an earthquake, a fire, a shooter, whatever, how a particular area would respond. Well, same thing with the base. I can tell you, let people walk around with the guns again. Remember, Clinton's administration took that away, where you couldn't have the handgun on base unless you were an MP, of course. And we'll get to that, more specifics on that, too. And it is going to go well beyond Major Hassan, the Army psychiatrist who gunned down 13 people and sits accused of that, certainly, and wounded more than 30 back on November 5th. They're still looking at the intelligence, linking everything together from the FBI and the CIA, which was announced earlier in the week, his contacts with a radical Islamic cleric overseas, some of the concerns by colleagues years ago, and whether everybody had that information and did they act properly. And how do you decide acting properly? It means, really, was everybody afraid to speak up for the political correctness cloud that hovers above the military and, let's face it, many other corporations and whatnot across the country? I mean, I don't care what someone's religion is or what they look like. If somebody's off kilter and you can tell it and you can see it and you can feel it and you can link things together with reports, et cetera, some type of evidence chain, then you need to say something, right? For fear that who knows what happens in the end. Now, speaking of that, here's an interesting thing. While that 45-day review has been ordered, and you have the two guys, the former Navy bigwig and the former Army bigwig looking into it, here's some other stuff that now has come out. There is a major emailing going back and forth, including this one, Major Hassan, sent this to the radical imam that we've mentioned off and on for the last couple of weeks. And in the email, the gist of it is, he says, I can't wait to join you in the afterlife. So the shooter, Hassan, asked this cleric, when is jihad appropriate, apparently? And this is obviously a giant link to, oh, okay, he might have been a lone terrorist, but a terrorist, no doubt, in pouring through these 18 emails that went back and forth between Hassan and the radical imam over a six-month period. And this was between December 2008, last December, and June 2009. A lieutenant who's a military analyst says it sounds like kind of code words. He's either actually offering himself up, which is what we see on the surface when we hear those words, or he's already crossed the line in his mind, and it's a question of what is he going to do? When is it appropriate? When is it permissible? If there are innocents killed in a suicide attack, all of that stuff was in these chain of emails. My question is, when did they discover these chain of emails? Was it after confiscating his computer, after the fact of what happened at Fort Hood, or is this some of the stuff that the FBI was looking at? The feds also found that Hassan donated $20,000 to $30,000 a year to overseas Islamic charities. And as an army major, which some people questioned originally, there were actually people coming out and saying, oh, he lived in just a really cheap apartment. He drove a ratty car. I feel so bad for him. And then, of course, his salary was over $92,000, and he had that money if he was living well beyond, below his means, rather, to write those big checks. So now it's tracing the money. It's always what we say, following the money. And there's a number of Islamic charities that have been pinpointed by our guys as conduits to terror groups. So they're trying to link that and find out what the deal is there. Two FBI task forces in D.C. and in San Diego received the messages but said they were innocent, at least some of them. Again, I go back to the specifics of the jihad, when is it appropriate, all that. Did they deem that specific one was innocent, or were there some of the others? So, of course, on the Hill, this is a perfect opportunity for many of the senators who are going to question, look, what happened here? We know that Senator Joe right away, Senator Joe Lieberman, who chairs the Senate Homeland Security Committee, said that he pinned it on the fact that it looked like he was radicalized, et cetera, lone terrorist, whatever, right away, and got blasted for that when it had first happened, that he didn't wait and he didn't see how it was all going to fall out. But he wasn't afraid to connect the dots, and now this is exactly what they're seeing and what they're doing as you hear more of these emails. I didn't even realize they were this potent. I thought it was more undercover language. To me, it seems pretty obvious what was going on here. Was he almost a member of Al-Qaeda? What was the story about Hassan? And by the way, he was also worried about results of a recent HIV test, according to some of those emails. All right, so we'll dive more into that a little bit later on ATN. But next, as I said, as promised, tour manager to many superstars in the music industry with fabulous stories, Chris O'Dell next here on the show.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
gold isn't for you?
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is Big John Lipscomb. World government in all its tyranny is rapidly approaching. The choices you make today will determine your level of suffering and freedom tomorrow. I have two solutions for you, so you and your family can stay strong and free. PatriotFood.com. 135 pounds of long-lasting dehydrated food in 25 varieties. That's one-fourth the cost of many freeze-dried offers of the same weight. And SurvivalistSeeds.com, where I just released my best offer ever, 7,000 heirloom vegetable seeds, 30 varieties of vegetables. That's over 4 pounds of seed, and I ship it in a time capsule so they will last decades. And now you can get a second for a $60 savings. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Anything else is just a copycat.
Imagine being in the studio when the Beatles recorded the White Album, Abbey Road, and of course you hear all the Beatles songs all day long across America, or even Let It Be. How about singing in the background on the final cut of Hey Jude? Man, the stories must abound by this lady. Chris O'Dell joins us now here on America Tonight, and she's written an interesting book, and it's My Miss O'Dell, My Hard Days and Long Nights with the Beatles, the Stones, Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, and the women he loved. Chris, thanks so much for coming on the show with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And let's talk about the Beatles first, because that had to be quite an experience for you. What was, I guess, just describe for us, what was that like?
Working with the Beatles in 1968,
yes.
It was pretty amazing. It was the hub of everything that appeared to be going on, certainly at that time, for young people.
Yeah, and you were one of the first female tour managers, I should back up and say that, in the music business, which, I mean, you were a glass ceiling breaker, let's face that. And so you were there for these private, personal, incredible moments with these guys. Did you know when you heard the Beatles, when you were there and listening in the studio, you knew they were, like, beyond, they were just going to go the distance even further than anyone could imagine?
You know, at that time, I had no clue they would last this long. I mean, they were pretty, at that point, they were very, very popular worldwide. But who knew that we would be listening 40 years later to the same music?
And okay, you know? That's what I said. It's crazy. And Hey Jude, what happened there? Did they say, hey, got some people in the studio? You want to sing on this thing or what? What happened
More
there?
Or less. I was sitting in the control room because I booked the sessions a lot of the time. So I'd spent a lot of time there. And Paul came up and said, hey, come on down. We need you. And I said, for what? And he said, to sing. We're going to sing. And I'm like, I don't sing. I schedule. And he said, well, it's okay. Come on down anyway. So I did, reluctantly, I might add.
Yeah, that has to be one of the best memories you have of the Beatles. But what are some of the other recollections? If you could tell us one story, a Beatles story, what would you tell us?
Well, you know, I think there, well, obviously there are a few, but being up on the roof when they sang their final, what was to be their final concert together was a pretty amazing moment. And I actually wasn't supposed to be up there because the employees of Apple weren't allowed up there. The roof was not, it wasn't really safe. It was falling in. And so it was all reinforced. And so I managed to get my way up there. And it was just an amazing day. It was freezing cold up there. But it was an amazing, you know, whatever, however long it was, it seemed like it happened about in about 3 minutes and suddenly it was over. But in fact, I know it wasn't. It was a lot longer than that. But that was a pretty amazing time with them.
Yeah, no kidding. And then you became pretty good friends at the time with George Harrison's wife, too, Patty Boyd, later, right?
Yes, right.
And so obviously you knew George pretty well. What kind of guy was George like? I mean, he said, I've talked to other people who knew George, and they said he was kind of a spiritual guy, kind of fun to be around.
He was very spiritual. And, you know, actually I got to know him before I got to know her, and then he invited me to come and live with him. So I went out to work at the house that they had just bought. And because I was living there, Patty and I obviously got to know each other really well. I stayed very good friends with, well, Patty and I are still best friends, but with George for years and years. And I think he, you know, he was extremely spiritual, but he also had a lot of, challenges because he had to bear the burden of fame along with the desire to be normal and just to be as spiritual as he could be. So he was conflicted in many ways too.
Yeah. And so you continue that friendship with Patty Boyd, and you go on when she leaves Harrison to marry Eric Clapton. Do you remember when she told you that? Do you remember when she said, hey, this is what's happening, and by the way, will you be the bridesmaid?
Well, actually, I kind of found out after I had left Friar Park. I went to live in the flat in London. I found a flat for the band that made up the Dominoes, Derek and the Dominoes. And suddenly Patty was visiting with Eric, and it was like, oh, no, this is confusing. And so, you know, I kind of traipsed along with her through it. It was a difficult time, I think. Maybe more for me than them.
I like that. You were like the interloper. You were watching the whole thing unfold. We're speaking
right
with Chris O'Dell, by the way, who's one of the first female tour managers in the music business. Can you imagine? And this, like I said, the stories must be incredible. You've got to read this book because I'm sure it's a page-turner. Okay, so let's shoot a few other stories out there. How about hanging out with the Stones? They were on tour in the 70s, early 70s, and I hear that you had to do something, some sort of a drug run or something for Keith Richards. What happened there?
Yeah, that's what people are calling it. You know, I was their personal assistant, and they were living in L.A. I'd moved back to America at that point into Los Angeles, and you know, I did whatever they asked me to do. And, you know, obviously as an employee, it was, you know, stop at the bank, get me some money, pick up this, get that, you know. So when I went on tour with them and Mick said, would you go get my camera fixed in New York? I went. When Keith said, would you go to L.A. and pick up some stuff? That just seemed like another one of those jobs. But as it turns out, since the book came out, it's been called a drug run. So I suppose it was.
I like that. I suppose it was. I didn't ask a lot of questions. Let's just say that.
No, so, just give me whatever you want. Just tell me and I'll be back.
I talked to one of the Beach Boys one time, and he told me a funny story how they had a short period where they were with the Stones, touring with them, I guess, one year. And they said it was crazy because women would throw their underwear on the stage and would be all over these guys. Did you find that?
You know, I don't know when they toured with them. I do remember the Beach Boys with Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young on a tour I did, but I don't remember with the Stones. I didn't find that. I didn't find that at all. But you know, by the time in 1972 that I toured with them, there were a lot of bodyguards. There were a lot of people around. So it was pretty difficult to get close to them as it happened.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, speaking of getting close to them, did you spend any time at all or get any one-on-one time or had any interesting brushes with Mick Jagger?
Mick and I spent every single day together for about a year and became really, really close and very good friends. And then for a period of time, we took it a little further. We became friends with benefits, as they would call it today. But, you know, it was... it was, these were the people I hung out with, so this was kind of a natural, it was the way things happened.
Right, no kidding. You know? Well, Mick in that situation, was Mick a lot of fun? I mean, what kind of, you know, you don't know much about him.
Oh, Mick is absolutely, has a wonderful boyish, of course back then he was more of a boy, but still has that, I believe, a very boyish, you know, kind of impish way about him. He loves to get into trouble. He loves to watch it stir up, and he's fun to be with. I mean, he's actually a lot of fun. I had a great time when I worked for him.
Yeah, no kidding. Who was the best of all these guys? Who did you, musically, who did you personally, because you really got the inside scoop. You were there when they were practicing all that other stuff. Chris, who did you think was the best musician, period, of all of them?
Well, you know, I personally, you know, as far as a band, I was always a Beatle person. And so I really loved the Beatles. That was, and I loved being around them. And I, their world seemed to be my fit more for me than the other bands that I worked for. But you know, you Eric Clapton is an amazing guitar player. I mean, it's a treat to sit in his den and listen to him just play on his acoustic guitar. You know, and George Harrison's a wonderful guitar player, and Ringo's a great drummer, and each of those I experienced in situations where it was just casual, you know, and at home.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe it. Amazing stuff. Do you have like a wall of photos somewhere and all these pictures of these guys?
No, I was thinking about this the other day. I did, and I had to take all of the photos out of their frames so I could scan them when we were putting the book photos together. And I thought, oh my gosh, do I have to pay to get all those framed pictures reframed? And I went, no, they're in the book now. I don't have to put them back up on my wall. It's done.
I love it. Well, you were a delight as a guest.
Thank you.
On America Tonight. We wish you the best with your book. People can pick it up all over the place, Barnes & Noble, et cetera, Amazon.com. Good luck with that, and hopefully we'll catch you down the road a piece and get a chance to talk to you again.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Chris. Chris O'Dell, there she was. Can you imagine? Oh, yeah, I used to listen to Eric Clapton playing his guitar, and then I was hanging out with Mick Jagger, and wow, that's all I can say. So the book is, once again, Miss O'Dell, My Hard Days and Long Nights with the Beatles, get it? The Stones, Bob Dylan, we didn't even go there, Eric Clapton, and the women that actually they loved, because you'd have to say they, not just one of them. All right, coming back in just a few here on America Tonight, Odds and Ends.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area, because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
I have owned every light you can think of, and my pack light is the one I refuse to leave home without.
That's what Jerry from Oregon said.
Your flashlights are the best. We bought some 3 years ago, and all three pack lights have gone through two hurricanes each, and they just keep going on and on.
And that's what Albert in Florida said about the amazing pack light. Pack light's multicolored calves come equipped with two high-powered LED lights, snap on to any 9-volt battery, and will last over 1,200 hours. Listen to what Jerry from Michigan said.
After carrying a pack light in my pants pocket for 2 years, it was bound to happen. The pants and the light went through the wash together, and it still works.
The pack light has a 25-year warranty, starts at just $12.99, and is an excellent gift idea. Order yours today at 9voltlight.com or call toll-free 877-715-4448. Use coupon code RADIO and receive free shipping. Be prepared with a pack light. Remember, 9voltlight.com or call 877-715-4448. 877-715-4448.
If you always thought an emu was a large, flightless Australian bird not much good for anything, you'd be, well, very wrong. Introducing ValleyViewEmus.com. Valley View Emus is a small, woman-owned family farm in Fenimore, Wisconsin, operated by Betty Lou Kaufman. Betty Lou assures you life gets better when you reap the health and wellness benefits of her high-quality emu products. A full line of the highest quality emu oils, lotions, craft products, pet care, and emu meats. The health benefits of emu oil alone will amaze you. Learn more about the complete line of emu products at valleyviewemus.com. And when you're ready, go right to the online shopping cart to place your order. Valley View Emus offers a 30-day money-back guarantee on all sales. Visit valleyviewemus.com. That's valley, V-I-E-W-E-M-U-S.com. Or call Betty Lou toll-free at 877-436-8537. Valley View Emus, where farm to fresh means quality and care.
Coming up on America Tonight, controversy between the Irish and the French soccer match. Talking a little World Cup, then FIFA refusing to reschedule a match between the two teams, and the French cheated. I'll explain in just a second here on America Tonight. Before we get to that, something else that was rather interesting and has been making news lately, and we're talking a lot about what's going on in Fort Hood, obviously, and the political correct question as a culture, are we now going so far in the other direction that things are being overlooked that shouldn't be overlooked? It wouldn't matter if the person who was on a base decided to open fire had some radicalized other religious view and were choosing to turn a blind eye to certain things. So that's what most of the discussion, honestly, everywhere I've gone lately, regardless of doing the talk show thing, has been about that. And certainly politically it is absolutely all about that, as to whether or not the right things are being done, and are people jumping to conclusions, and then on the other hand are people refusing to acknowledge what's right in front of their face as a culture. That's a lot of what is being decided, I think, in homes across America, and certainly in Washington, the decision in some cases to ignore what's right in front of everybody's face, and in other cases to naturally just jump to that kind of a conclusion. And of course, we're talking about the difference between somebody of Muslim faith and somebody who is a jihadist, homegrown or otherwise, or has suddenly been whipped up into a frenzy by reading propaganda and websites and conversations with radical imams, etc. So here is one take. The Virginia governor-elect, Bob McDonnell, responded to supporter Pat Robertson's recent charge that Islam is not a religion. Of course, he was asked about that by a reporter, a couple of questions, and here was how he responded to that.
You know, I've got probably 15,000 donors to the campaign, and I can't stand and defend or support every comment that any donor might make. What I've said is that I believe, and have reached out to the Muslim community during the campaign, went to several mosques, and engaged members, particularly in the of the Pakistani community, who supported me during the campaign. I've told people before and after the campaign that I intend to have people of all faiths and all political persuasions to be part of helping me to rebuild the economy in Virginia. And that includes people of the Muslim faith who were very instrumental in helping me, particularly in Northern Virginia. So, look, I think people are entitled under the First Amendment to express whatever opinions they may have. But I can only say that as governor of Virginia, I intend to have an inclusive administration where we bring people across the political and religious spectrum into the administration to help us govern. I think that there are people in various religions that do some violent things, and they ought to be judged according to their acts. But I believe that there are people of all the great religions that can be enormously helpful in our multicultural Virginia to help them to benefit us in the state. And I intend to bring them in and have them help us just like they did during the campaign.
All right, good for the new governor. See, he was clear to say that, and he's right. There are people of other religions, certainly, that have been extremists and have done violent things as well, trying to make the distinction and saying that he has reached out to several people in mosques, etc. Yes, we know there are tainted mosques, and it's ridiculous that there are things going on that, unless the FBI infiltrates it and they're tipped off and all that sort of stuff is happening, you're not aware of what's going on in the walls that could lead to some of the things that we've seen, like with Major Hassan. But at the same time, you know, it's that balancing act. But you can't let the political correctness completely kill what is, as I said, right in front of your face. Over the past couple of decades, we've had multiple attacks at the hands of what? Islamic extremists, including, obviously, the Army sergeant who killed two officers and injured 14 others. Remember that? That attack in 2003, the premeditated grenade attack. There was another example, obviously, of what we're talking about. All right, a couple of other things that are going on in the world, completely different from talking about what happened at Fort Hood and obviously 9/11, the trial that's going to take place in New York City. If you go to the entertainment world, if you want a little levity, all you have to do is go down the dial and watch one of those entertainment shows. I don't know whether they have because I don't watch them that much. Entertainment Tonight, or there's another show, I forget what it's called, Hollywood Access or something or whatever. But they all have them now. The Hollywood News, I think, is the great escape for so many people. And one of the strangest stories recently that has come out that has been on a lot of different, where she or he has been on a lot of different morning shows, etc., has been the transformation of Chastity Bono. Now, you can remember if you ever watched the Sonny and Show share, they had the cute little blonde-headed Chastity Bono. And now she grew up and announced that she was a lesbian, and then she's gone from lesbian to becoming a man and to making the transformation as a man. I laugh because I wasn't aware that was happening, and happened to catch her on one of the morning shows and was stunned. I guess this is naive on my part, but in making that transformation from a woman to man, with the hormones, etc., I had no idea at how unbelievably close between the operation and the drugs that someone can become to changing genders if I guess they have the right doctor or something. But take a listen to what she says on Chaz, because it's Chaz Bono now, what Chaz Bono said on Good Morning America.
Getting there, yeah. You know, getting there. I mean, I've only been on hormone therapy for about 8 months now. So there's been definite changes, and I feel so much more comfortable than I've ever been. And, but, you know, more to come. I think probably the first thing that was just an incredible hurdle was the idea of that I wasn't going to be able to do this privately like most people can. Mm-hmm. And that took a really long time to get over. And then I think it was about dealing with the people in my life and how it was going to affect them. And finally, it came down to, you know, realizing that I got to live my life for myself, and life is short and life is precious. And, you know, this is who I am. I need to finally be who I am.
All right, so Chaz Bono, the total transformation. Like I said, 40 years old, Chaz Bono is a reality television star, born a girl, and now 8 months into the transformation of becoming a man, saying life is, you know, short and precious, and this is, you heard that, this is who I am. Matt, you saw that clip, and of course this is radio, and you're hearing the voice of what was Chastity Bono, now transformed into a guy. Was it stunning actually to see the photos too? I mean, to hear him talk on tape, on camera?
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I didn't even recognize, when I heard the voice, I didn't even recognize him because it just sounds so different. And
same thing I thought.
Yeah, it's just new age we're living in.
But no kidding. And then the statistic that came out, like 30,000 people do that a year. 30,000 people start to make that, start to make the transformation either way, whether it's male to female or, back the other way. You're right. It's a different world. There's no question about it. But someone as high profile as Chaz Bono, getting a lot of requests for interviews, and when you actually see him, it's amazing that they can do that kind of a treatment. Absolutely amazing. All right, the other thing that I said we were going to talk about was this scuttlebutt over the goal, the goal that led to France getting into the World Cup. The Irish none too happy. Here's the Minister of Justice and his take on why they should have to play the game over again, and that FIFA officials are dead wrong on this soccer match.
Yeah, like every other Irish supporter, you know, when we went to bed last night, we were very disappointed. When we woke up this morning, to a certain extent, we thought we were coming out of a nightmare, and maybe it didn't happen at all, but it did. And at the crack of dawn this morning, I contacted the chairman, the CEO, the chief executive of our local football association, the Football Association of Ireland here, John Delaney, to say to them that I think the least our fans deserved was a replay. We don't mind being beaten fair and square. Indeed, our supporters are probably an exemplar around the world in the way in which they behave, even when they're defeated. And they would walk away if they believed that they were fairly beaten, but they weren't fairly beaten last night. And I got a text from John Delaney at 2:30 today, Irish time, to say that they were going to lodge a complaint. I don't accept what FIFA say in their recent statement, because they themselves ordered a rematch back in 2005 in a World Cup qualifier between Uzbekistan and Bahrain, where they demanded that a replay take place because of what they termed a technical error by the referee. So, you know, they're very adept at quoting the rule book, but they're not that adept at quoting what they say themselves, and that is fair play, as Trapattoni said in his interview, the Irish manager. What does this say to the thousands and thousands of young sports people coming up? That what it says in effect is that you can cheat and get away with it.
Ooh, such good words there, words to live by. You can get away with it. That's what it says. It was an obvious handball. You cannot touch the ball that way. It led to breaking that 1-1 tie, Ireland losing. Ooh,
do you want to get away from additives and preservatives in your food? Need alternatives to conventional food preparation? Do you want to save the fruits of your gardening labor? And are you looking for an excellent gift idea? Then check out the Excalibur Dehydrator. Dehydration is one of the healthiest, most cost-effective, and fun ways to feed yourself and your family. Make healthy snacks like fruit roll-ups and beef jerky. Store healthy food in case of an emergency with no added salts, fats, or preservatives. And save hundreds of dollars by drying it yourself with the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator comes with an industry-leading exclusive 10-year warranty. And when you order, you'll receive a free book filled with amazing easy recipes, a $25 value free for a limited time. Just mention coupon code GCN. Learn more and order your Excalibur Dehydrator today at drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Drying123.com. Or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Season's greetings and health and wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
Would you like some of Uncle Sam's money back? You may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM stimulus. That's right. If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, this message is vitally important. Please listen. Uncle Sam has authorized a government-backed program through the FHA called HECM or HECM. It is authorized under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Senior homeowners 62 or older can apply for this increased stimulus program for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Right now, seniors are taking advantage of this program's benefits using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, or make home repairs. But the money is yours to use as you wish. To learn more and see how much heck of money you could qualify for, go to rmapply.com. The application is free. Visit rmapply.com or call for a no-obligation evaluation at 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155.
For the past year, you've heard about GardenInACan.com right here on GCN. GardenInACan.com is your source for premium non-hybrid and non-genetically modified seeds. Each order includes 16 carefully selected varieties made specifically for both spring and fall, giving you an extended growing season. You'll receive approximately 18,000 seeds, giving you the ability to plant a crisis garden of up to two-thirds of an acre. Every order is hermetically sealed to lock in freshness and sealed again in a large metal can for the ultimate protection, giving you a shelf life of up to 10 years. For a limited time, while supplies last, GardenInACan.com is having a sale. Order your Garden in a Can for only $49.95. That's right, $49.95. If you have a preparedness plan and it does not include long-term storable garden seeds, this is the best time to acquire your seeds. Take advantage of this great offer and order now. Visit GardenInACan.com. That's GardenInACan.com.
What happened with the game between the Irish and the French that sent the French into the World Cup, and you heard the Minister of Justice saying it wasn't right for the Irish. I'm no relation to that Delaney that he was talking to, by the way, because I just got an email here. No relation, trust me. And so, continuing on ATN, it was definitely fair. In the land of fair or foul, it was definitely foul. You cannot do that with the hands, leading to the goal, and of course, the Irish get ripped off there, and it was clear. You can look at the video replays. If you go to CNN or ESPN or any of those, you can plug it in, you can watch it for yourself. And I love the point that he made that it's not good to show these kids that you can cheat and get away with it. Matt, you saw the video replays, and it was pretty clear about the hand, obviously, and leading the ball.
Yeah, not only were it was the hand play involved by Henri, because he's French,
mm-hmm.
but they're offsides as well. And so they had two errors that the refs just missed. And, I mean, if I was, you know, a fan of the Irish, I'd be crying foul as well, because it definitely seems pretty fishy that you can – because he touched the ball with his hand twice, actually.
I know.
And
yeah.
they didn't call it, which is absolutely ridiculous. And soccer is kind of notorious, or football, as they call it, you know, everywhere else. It's notorious for, like, some corruption and things going on, and you have to wonder – you know, having the French team in the World Cup is definitely going to be more press and more money made
than the Irish.
So,
mm-hmm.
I always got to wonder about that stuff.
Yeah, and that is too bad because that's not right for the. He's right. It's not right for the kids to see that. And hey, you got to play it fair and square. And I don't understand that because he wants to see the cheaters get in, and they should have called it. That was a huge mistake. So that is our blunder of this show. Blunder of the day goes to the refs for not calling that. As Matt said, you can't do that in soccer, obviously, and it's quite clear that that happened. Coming up, we have birthdays. Birthdays include Judy Woodruff, famous broadcast journalist. You might have seen her even today. Obviously, she's broadcasting, and she's celebrating a pretty big birthday. Not the only one also celebrating a birthday. Remember Dominic Dawes, the Olympic gold medal gymnast? 33 years old. 33, not a bad age. Just slightly over the other side. TV personality, Vice President Joe Biden also celebrating a birthday. Any guesses as how old Joe Biden is? And Senator Robert Byrd, now the longest guy in the Senate, is 92 years old. Wow, 92 years old. We'll also go through this day in history, as it is November 20th. There are 41 days left in the year. In 1789, New Jersey became the first state to ratify the Bill of Rights. My home state, how about that? Before we get there, though, let's go to news you can abuse. It means the upside-down crazy stuff like this. I was sad when I read this, but I guess I understand it. You know that whole deal about sending a letter to Santa in Anchorage, Alaska? Kids who write the letters going to the North Pole believe in Santa Claus still? Well, the U.S. Postal Service dropping the program that they started in 1954 in the small Alaska town of North Pole. Volunteers open and respond to thousands of letters addressed to Santa every single year, and they come back with postmarks that say the North Pole. But last year, a postal worker in Maryland recognized an Operation Santa volunteer there as a registered sex offender. The postal worker interceded before the person could answer a child's letter, but the Postal Service viewed the episode as big enough in a scare sense to tighten rules and programs nationwide. So the people in the North Pole are incensed by the change. They say it's like the Grinch trying to steal Christmas because it is a revered holiday tradition there, where even the light posts are curved and striped like candy canes, and streets are called Kris Kringle Drive and Santa Claus Lane. Volunteers in the letter program even sign the response letters as Santa's elves and helpers, and they say, hey, we got to protect the kids, and they're sadly outraged that the program would be affected by a sex offender's action on the East Coast, and the locals wish they could do something about it, but they can't. I mean, you know, they killed the program. Again, sad, sad, sad stuff. I tend to agree with that mayor. A program gets killed by some idiot on the East Coast. Boggles the mind, right? But it scared them enough, and I understand that they didn't want to take a chance. Can you imagine leaving $40,000 at a shrine? If you left $40,000 anywhere, do you think you would get it back? Hagerstown, Maryland, a woman quietly left $40,000 worth of rare coins near a Catholic shrine for safekeeping so the Virgin Mary could watch over her life savings while she was out of town. And it worked. The money was returned to her when she got back a week later. Crazy. Operators of the National Shrine Grotto of Our Lady of Lourdes near that area in Hagerstown thought they had been blessed with a big donation when a groundskeeper found the two plastic freezer bags filled with gold and silver while raking leaves. And, of course, the director asked the woman, why did you leave it here? And she said, I had to go away. I was afraid to leave it. I wanted the Blessed Mother to watch over it for me. And she did, because you found it. How about that? I think it's pretty lucky that she got it back and they were honest there, and somebody else could have accidentally stumbled upon it, and it might have been a much different, sadly different ending to that if somebody else had stepped in the middle. All right, here's the deal in Brazil. This is making big news for some reason, and it's why we're calling it news you can abuse. In Brazil, you know, they're known certainly to show some skin, but brushing back that beautiful dyed blonde hair. She was posing for pictures. A Brazilian woman whose short pink dress got her kicked out of college said she's enjoying her newfound fame, but she wants to go back to school with a security guard. And apparently in the college where she is, that's certainly a big no-no to wear such a skimpy skirt. And, you know, I saw pictures of it, and they look like, you know, that commercial, who wears short shorts. It kind of reminded me, actually, of that. 20-year-old Gizi Arand took her first trip on an airplane. She could relive her experience in a comedy skit on one of Brazil's most popular television shows. And, you know, for some reason, the shorts set out an outcry, and she was hounded from the campus where she's going to school by male students yelling, whore, 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 and then was expelled by school officials. The private university doesn't have a conservative reputation, so because there's been a national uproar, they said last week she was welcomed back for her regular routine of night classes. Who knew you could get kicked out of school for wearing short shorts? Come to America, boy. You'll see some unbelievable things on the college campuses. All right, it is November 20th. A couple of quick things for you. 1925, Robert F. Kennedy was born in Massachusetts. 1929, the radio program The Rise of the Goldbergs debuted on the NBC Blue Network. 1959, the United Nations issued its Declaration of the Rights of the Child. And in 67, the U.S. Census Bureau's population clock at the Commerce Department ticked past 200 million. Let's head to birthdays. Maestro, please.
I need birthday singers. Come on, people. We need birthday singers.
All right, I told you about Robert Byrd, who is 92. How about actress comedian Kay Ballard, who's 84. Actress Estelle Parsons, 82. Also celebrating a birthday, I mentioned Judy Woodruff, it's her 63rd. Richard Mansour is 61, another one of those character actors you would recognize. Everybody knows the lady who made 10 famous, right? Bo Derek is 53. Former NFL player Mark Gastineau, 53 years old. Actress Sean Young is 50. Pianist Jim Brinkman, 48 years old. Actor Ned Vaughn, 45. Happy birthday if you're celebrating a birthday, by the way. It was Caesar, the Roman emperor, who said, make haste slowly. Have a good one.
Computer, execute complete shutdown of the holodeck.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're gonna do what?
Power down and disengage.
Time to go home now.
Going home,
too. I'll be back.
It's been fun working with you.
I quit.
7 years of college down the drain.
Game over, man.
And now for something completely different.